Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back in. This video failed a second ago. I'm talking about the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum with the word international in inverted commas, implicitly disapproving it, because it's had far fewer foreign representatives than it did in years of yore. So this forum started in 1997. It's been under the patronage of the president since the early noughties, remembering that Petrograd is Putin's hometown. So he didn't have so many foreign delegates. I think they cancelled a year in 2020 COVID. It was like online. It was a virtual one. And obviously far fewer Western delegates are coming from before the war. And it's sort of trade show. It's a chance to mingle between politicians, business executives, and so on to showcase the latest technology and supposedly share ideas on geopolitical strategies. But it is also a propaganda show meant to vaunt the glories of the Russian Federation under Tsar Putin and so on. But people are staying away in their droves. So it's an embarrassing flop compared to what it was before. But they have kept it going. And that's why they'll ask the president of any country, not a very affluent country, not a very large and notable country, to come along. Now, there should be no disrespect towards countries with small amounts of land or people. Okay, that's one of the principles of Grotius of international law is sovereign equality. But obviously Russia doesn't believe that. It's extremely chauvinistic, jingoistic, openly scornful of those who are not as mighty as they are. Might is right. Definitely like throwing their weight around and using intimidatory tactics, well, terror tactics whenever they can. And so for them, it is a humiliation that, as they would see it, they have to lower themselves to inviting the heads of state of less economic developed countries. Previously, the prime minister of Japan attended several years ago, the Bundeskanzler Angela Merkel, she attended about 10 years ago, and Putin got along well with her. Partly she's a fluent Russian speaker who grew up in Soviet-occupied East Germany. And other people, Silvio Berlusconi was there when Il Cavalieri was the minister, president of the Council of Ministers in Italy. And so it goes on. This is, I think, the 27th iteration. So Putin's keynote address was all about nations buttressing their sovereignty. And he reproached the collective West for, as he said, it was seeking to maintain mastery. Of course, he's very envious because Russia can't do so and is more or less Billy No Mates on the international stage. Even Belarus in the Union State, even Belarus won't send a single soldier against Ukraine. So the Russian foreign ministry is increasingly candid about a strategy of appealing to the global South, or as they prefer to term it, the global majority. So enlisting countries in Latin America, Africa, and much of Asia in this anti-Western alliance. So Moscow's line is it's always been anti-imperialist, which is odd, as they openly say we're rebuilding the Russian Empire. Well, we might have to have Ukraine because it's part of the Russian Empire. And some of the Russian ultra-nationalist politicians are mainstream now saying, let's take back Alaska. There was this old big lie of the Soviet Union, or that Russia and its old guys, the Tsarist Empire, wasn't imperialist because it had never crossed water. Well, that is a distinction without a difference. It doesn't matter whether you cross water, you cross land. But actually, they had crossed water, including salt water. Alaska is across the Bering Strait from Siberia. And how about Sakhalin Island or the Kuril Islands and so on? So yes, they have actually. So that's a frank lie. And obviously they wanted all these communist states in Africa and Latin America to be satrapies of the Soviet Union, just simply following orders from the Kremlin. And so it goes on. But despite being openly nostalgic about the Russian Empire, and all right, the Russian Empire wasn't all bad. And the Soviet Union wasn't all bad. There were horrific aspects to it. There were many evil acts on an enormous scale, but even it has a few somewhat redeeming features, particularly towards the end in terms of free education or healthcare or whatever, the advancement of women or the end of theocracy, at least no official racial bigotry. Anyway, so Putin wants the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa to expand. He says that's vital to balance Western hegemony. Remember, the BRICS are meant to expand to about a dozen countries these days. So he applauded the way that the BRICS, they've created this unified payment system. Russia's got its own card payment system because, remember, it was banned from SWIFT at the beginning of the war. And he's hoping more joint countries will enlist in BRICS. But remember, his relations with China are not as cordial as he likes to pretend. Chinese spies are regularly caught. They're quietly expelled. But of course, if he catches even an alleged Western spy, they love to announce that with enormous fanfare, as they did when they allegedly caught a Frenchman spying on the Russian military. So the forum showed this film, which is meant to highlight the most egregiously sordid chapters of Western imperialism. And of course, somewhat they're saying will be true. It might be inflated in terms of body count. It might be decontextualized. I think there will be at least a grain of truth and probably a few outright lies as well. And it will be about selectivity, not saying anything positive that, you know, Spain, the Netherlands, Belgium, France, Germany, the United Kingdom, Italy, even Sweden, Denmark, even Austria briefly had overseas empires. But we go on. So about domestic politics, Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin said that Russia is striding forward in terms of education and succeeding economically. Unemployment is low. Well, unemployment is low, partly because you've sent your men to get killed in Ukraine. A lot of young men have fled because they don't want to be thrown into the meat grinder. And Central Asians are less willing to move to Russia because they're getting better wages elsewhere in the Middle East or even in China. They face less racism in Kazakhstan. The wages are a bit lower, but the travel cost is lower because it's relatively close to Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan. There's less racialism because their phenotype is roughly the same, and so on. And the cost of living is lower. So sometimes in real terms, they're actually better off in Kazakhstan on a lower wage. Moreover, there's been a spate of racialism, state-sponsored racism, since the Kroger City Hall attack. But this is going to boomerang on the Putin regime when they're going to have a severe paucity of workers, farms and factories and so forth in remote, inhospitable regions. And the other thing is these people having their arms twisted, sometimes literally, into enlisting the Russian army on promises of Russian citizenship, which often never materializes. So Putin didn't mention the war very much, but he did say that Russian business is making it possible to continue the war indefinitely. Another thing is there appears to be a Russian recruitment drive in Burundi, the Central African Republic, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and so on, various impecunious countries in sub-Saharan Africa. And remember, Russia's very active there with Wagner under its new guys, Redoute. There are actually several Russian mercenary organizations because that's the only continent they see as more or less being for sale. But, you know, China moved in there in a big way since about the year 2000. So it's not as up for sale as it used to be. But as the poorest continent, it's not that expensive to get things. And, you know, Latin American countries are usually democracies these days, somewhat Western aligned. So this has less success there. He did get the Hungarian foreign minister to go to the St. Petersburg Economic Forum. That was a success for him. And what's her name? Karin Knesel, the erstwhile foreign minister of Austria, who shockingly, shamefully danced with Putin at a wedding several years ago. And she lives in St. Petersburg as a professor. Anyway, the forum is supposed to be Russia's answer to Davos. Well, it's pathetic as an attempt to equal that. It was an impressive event several years ago and attracted Western leaders. But there's a larger Chinese delegation than ever before, part of the pivot towards China. But really, you know, Russia is becoming little more than an adjunct to the People's Republic of China. So the president of Zimbabwe was there, Emmerson Mnangagwa, the president of Bolivia, he was there. Okay, two people who Putin wouldn't have given the time of day to a couple of years ago, because, you know, often he's openly contemptuous of people from the non-white world. And of course, his government supports white supremacism in Western countries. Anything that they think will cause social asperity, anything which they think is anti-democratic. And then this is sort of grist at the mill of saying, oh, the white world is racist. Now Lukashenko, who's Putin's sort of sidekick, went because he had to go because he's desperately dependent on Putin's largesse. So now it's not all bad news for Russia economically. Its gross domestic product, PPP, is greater than that Japan. Now, there are economic problems in Russia, but economic collapse is a long way off. Yes, they're increasing tax by about a quarter. They've slashed spending on education, and this is only going to continue. They have some of their military jets crashing in training, which they this year. Is that lack of spare parts? Are they rushing people through training? Things like that. It's amazing how civil aviation has weathered the storm quite well, but they're going to be increasing cutbacks on spending on maintenance of railway infrastructure, roads, and so on. So Russia's coped better with forced sanctions than anybody foresaw. They're very leaky sanctions. They haven't gone far enough, as I'll go into perhaps another video. But sanctions are a bit of a problem, not as severe a headache as most people forecast, that I foresaw, for example. Anyway, that's enough about that forum. Thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.